from Mark, the first chapter, the 21st through the 28th verses. Jesus and his followers went into Capernaum. Immediately on the Sabbath, Jesus entered the synagogue and started teaching. The people were amazed by his teaching, for he was teaching them with authority, not like the legal experts. Suddenly there in the synagogue, a person with an evil spirit screamed, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are. You are the Holy One from God." "Silence," Jesus said, speaking harshly to the demon, "come out of him." The unclean spirit shook him and screamed. Then it came out. Everyone was shaken and questioned among themselves. "What's this? A new teaching with authority? He even commands unclean spirits, and they obey him." Right away, the news about him spread throughout the entire region of Galilee. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
As Pastor Tangela mentioned, this issue of demons is difficult for us in our modern scientific world. Many things that we can now explain could not be in Jesus' time, and many things were often attributed to demonic forces. Now, I'm not here to try to convince you one way or the other about the reality or nature of demons. Some have had experiences that can only be described as supernatural, as unexplainable darkness and pain and suffering that I would not question in the least. Others see demonic oppression as related to mental health issues or addictions or other things like that that just sort of consume and control the mind and the soul in ways that are very difficult to overcome. For others, it may simply be a matter of the things that Tangela talked about before, the sins or the things that we struggle with, those places of darkness that we don't want to look in the mirror and see, those places that we don't want others to see in us. And so however we interpret this language of the demonic, that's all perfectly fine. What I'm more interested in today is what does the good news of the gospel have to say in all of those circumstances? No matter how you interpret the demons themselves, how does the good news confront those demonic realities in our lives and in our worlds? How does Jesus confront the evil and the injustice and the darkness? As we said earlier in our membership vows, a perfect time to be able to recite those together, because we ask that question: do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness in whatever form they present themselves? I love that language and the reality that they present themselves in so many different ways. And what we're looking at today is how does the good news impact us in that darkness? God wants the most for us. God wants the joy and meaningfulness of life, the abundant life. Jesus tells the people that the thief comes to steal and kill and destroy, but he comes to give life abundant. And so we have to look at those things in our life that possess us, that consume us, that keep us from living that abundant life. For some, it may be anger or fear or workaholism or substance abuse. Janet Hunt describes her own experience this way. She says, "I've never known myself to be possessed by demons, but rather by things that are definitely not God's intent for me. I cling to them because I know them. And even when I know they are not good for me, I cling to them still. My reliance on caffeine or sugar to give me a lift when I need them, my need to be in control, my fear of looking foolish, a need to be busy so as to be deemed of value, or old grudges that still sting when I turn my attention to them. Need I go on? No, I'm not possessed by an unclean spirit, but I have known myself to be possessed by a great deal that would keep me from embracing the life that God intends for me." I think whatever we may think of demons, we can all relate to that to some degree. The good news, however, is a declaration of God's kingdom here and now And Mark is showing us that that reign of God is intrusive, that it breaks into these old boundaries, and it liberates people from those powers that keep them separated from God. It liberates societies from all the things that keep them from flourishing. And so where can we see souls set free from these destructive tendencies that we thought were beyond anyone's control? Those are the places the good news is breaking in. Jesus demonstrates something very important for us when we think about evil and darkness and injustice and all of those things that crop up in our lives. Jesus recognizes that there is a distinction between the evil itself and the person who is possessed by it. And I think that's a very important distinction, particularly in a culture where we tend to demonize anyone who isn't like us. Where we see on the news literally people calling out entire groups as demonic or as demon-possessed. I remember a Christian magazine that I used to work for, sadly. they had some reactions to some political issues on their Facebook page, and they would call their opponents literally spawns of Satan. And I called them out on this on the page and in some private messages saying, I don't care whether you agree with them or not, but is this really the language of the witness of our Christian ministry? To which the response was that I was demon-possessed and I was kicked off of their page. So I get the reactions of hatred, the reactions of fear. I have been threatened violently by people who were very angry with things that I've preached and said before. One week I was giving the example of Martin Luther King's quote about darkness not being able to drive out darkness, but only love being able to drive out darkness. You'd think that wouldn't be too controversial until a man came up to me, well-armed, after the service, and said that I needed to recant that belief because if not, he would have to beat me to a pulp until he convinced me that it wasn't true. That the only way to fight back would be to actually fight, or else I would die. I've seen this kind of reaction that could only be qualified as evil, as darkness, in many, many places. And what I say to you today is when you contrast that kind of reaction to the reaction of Jesus, evil becomes a lot more clear in every form in which it presents itself. Why? Because evil is always reactionary. Evil is always lashing out. Evil is terrified when a mirror like Jesus is held up to it and is confronted and it realizes that it has no place to hide. And so it will force us to lash out. It will force us to react. And people do that all the time. We see it all over the news. We see it all around our communities. We see people lashing out. We don't see that with Jesus. We simply see a calm, confident authority that says to this demon, that says to this evil, that says to this darkness, this fear, this whatever it is that's controlling this person, that says, come out of her. Come out of her. You don't have authority here. You don't have authority in this person's life. And essentially, in the same breath, is saying to that individual, that darkness does not control you. That darkness, that pain does not define who you are. You are a beloved child of God. And so I call that darkness out. It does not have to take hold of you any longer. Jesus makes a distinction between the darkness and the person who it is concerning. And I think that's a really, really important point for us. Both as we look at the darkness in our world and be able to distinguish when we look at people in our lives that we think, man, what is wrong with them? And the question may be something more like, what happened to them? What pain or woundedness are they bearing that is being opened up and revealed in these reactions, in this lashing out? How can the good news offer them healing and hope and a way to recover and move forward from all of this so they no longer have to be defined by those dark and painful places in their lives? And separating the darkness from the person also
is a great way to be able to examine our own hearts. Because we don't like to think of ourselves as dark and demon-possessed people, of course. We don't like to think of ourselves as evil, but the reality is all of us have probably had those moments where we have lashed out in anger and fear and hatred. And to be able to make that distinction is to say, you know what, yeah, there was something that came over me that I can't explain. Maybe it was triggering an old wound that I had forgotten, an old trauma from my childhood. Maybe it was just triggering the mob mentality that I got caught up in. Whatever it is, and it made me lash out in such a way. And by not defining ourselves by that darkness, we're able to say, you know what, this isn't me. I'm a beloved child of God. God wants more for me than this. And so we can allow Jesus to remove that darkness, that hatred, that anger, that fear, whatever it is that is causing us to react. And we can calmly examine our own hearts. When we get too close to Jesus, our inner demons, in whatever form they come, will cringe. Just like the demons in this man, they will make excuses to stay away. And we have to ask ourselves, how close can we get to Jesus before something inside of us starts to shriek and react? Before something inside of us wants to scream and wants to judge and wants to condemn whatever is being said, whatever is in us that is being challenged, whatever beliefs may be being questioned, whatever we believe about the nature of demons, whether literal or psychological, they tend to show up most in our places of greatest injury, in our places of brokenness, in our scar tissue, and in our fractured wounds. Our deepest wounds can often manifest themselves in ways that can only be defined as spiritual oppression. In Scripture, the demons fear God. The demons recognize God's presence when they see it. And the demons obey God's authority. I preached another sermon many years ago asking the question, do we have the faith of demons? Do we recognize God when He shows up in our lives? Do we fear God, honor Him, recognize His power, recognize His authority, revere Him? Do we obey God's authority? Now, obviously, this isn't enough. It's not saving faith. It's not trust in God that the demons have. But certainly a first step that all of us need to be able to recognize the power of Jesus' goodness in our lives and to be able to recognize those places when He shows us the mirror and shows us those things that He wants to call out of us. To say, that's not you. That's not who I created you to be. And so whatever that darkness is, come out. Come out and set this child of mine free. And so I invite us as we close today into a moment of prayerful meditation. I invite you to close your eyes and to reflect on your own life. Maybe just as recent as this week, maybe something deep that's coming up for you from way back in your past. No matter what it is that's coming up, just let it come. Don't question it. Don't be like, nah, I haven't thought about that in years. Why is it coming now? Let the Spirit bubble up whatever needs to be healed within you. And as you invite God's Spirit to walk with you through the house of your life, every area, look for those places that that darkness has gained access. Look for just that one moment where you just had that kind of reaction the way the demoniac did, to lash out. Where you feel that rage bubbling up in you, where you feel that fear crippling you. Sometimes these places come from open doors. These are choices that we make, sin or giving into temptation or participating in harmful groups. Choices that leave us vulnerable to the darkness. Doors are open from the inside, but only we have the key. And so what doors do you need to close off today? The toxic influences in your life. What doors do you need to close off so those influences don't keep dragging you down this path that is less than the life that Jesus desires for you? What doors do you need doors do you need to close off to feel free, to feel safe within your own soul? And then along with those open doors that we open ourselves, whether intentionally or not, there are also places in our lives that are broken windows. Windows are broken from the outside by that thief who comes to steal and kill and destroy. Sometimes those windows are broken from abuse or neglect or violence, injuries from the outside. And so what broken windows, what harm has been done to you at some point in your life, physically, emotionally, in any way, that you need to ask God to repair and seal so that you can move forward in forgiveness and reconciliation and healing and love? This is a practice you can do over and over again. Every day, every week, take a moment. What doors have I opened to darkness in my life? What windows have been broken, where something from outside has come in and just created this violent reaction within me? And we can invite Jesus in, even in this moment, invite Jesus in to shut those doors, to seal those windows, to go deeper and deeper into your heart. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, take back the authority that was given to you to renounce that sin, to renounce that evil and that darkness, to renounce that fear, that hatred, that anger. Whatever place of injury that is within you, to allow it to be healed, to allow the broken to be restored. And so let us pray there. Lord, we give you thanks for the power of the good news to confront these places of darkness that we don't like to deal with. For the reminder that no matter how painful these wounds may be, you offer us healing. You offer us hope. You offer us a new life. For the truth that we are not defined by those dark places, within or without. That we are not defined by what others say about us. That we are not defined by what we have done, the choices we've made. That we are not defined by our pain. But Lord, that you call all of those things out, just like you called out those demons. And that you offer to set us free. That the good news of your kingdom is one that overcomes all forces of evil in whatever form they present themselves. So shine your light in our darkness and open our eyes to see clearly the pain of others. Not an angry reaction at those who come after us the way that demon-possessed man came after Jesus, but rather to recognize that that person is also your beloved child, that that person is not defined by whatever darkness is within them lashing out. Help us meet them with patience, with confidence, with peace, with kindness and generosity and grace, that they too may discover the freedom that you offer from whatever is consuming their lives. And so, Lord, we thank you this morning for freedom, for healing, for wholeness, for restoration, for all this the good news of your kingdom brings. That we are no longer citizens of this kingdom of darkness, but you have called us out. You have called us to be light in that darkness. And you have set us free from everything that is not of you. We ask all this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.